This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson. And for the very first time, I am with...
Liam Smart. Who are you?
Yay! I used to live here.
Do you? Oh.
I kind of went missing for a while, but I'm back.
Oh.
With a vengeance.
Scary. I'm very glad you're back, Suzanne. It's so good to actually see your face and talk to you as a real person as opposed to one messenger. I know you've had some difficulties with microphones and stuff, but yay, we're back. Except now we're missing Zach.
Yes, Zach has disappeared. But I have a feeling he'll turn up somewhere soon.
He's been eaten by the monster on the Basics planet.
Oh, him and Hogan.
Well, Hogan Fruehling is away this week.
He was eaten by a giant worm.
I feel sorry for our listeners today, Suzanne.
I don't.
Oh, we're going to have lots of fun. So what are we talking about today, Suzanne?
We are talking about a very, very special anniversary that's coming up on January 16th.
Really? What could that be?
And if you're listening to this show, then you know what that anniversary is.
But I don't know.
It is Voyager's 25th anniversary.
Oh, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Of course I knew.
Yes. To the journey. We're going to talk some Voyager. Hey, it's an anniversary.
Are we going to sing a birthday song? Let's not sing a birthday song.
No, let's not.
But yeah, 25 years since Voyager started, Suzanne.
I know, and I had a look at different things that were going on in the US 25 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
Windows 95 came out. Yay!
Oh, I remember 95. That. That was my first computer. And, oh my lord, it brings back terrible and wonderful memories all at the same time.
Speaking of terrible memories, the Oklahoma City bombing happened that year.
Oof.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was also a World Trade thing, wasn't it?
It was the IRS building.
Oh, okay. I can't say I'm up with American history, sorry.
I'm not up on American history either. That's why I had to look all this up.
Cool.
One of my favorite records came out that year, Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette.
That is an amazing song. Yes. Yes.
Love it. The O.J. Simpson trial started.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson, he was a football player turned movie actor accused of killing his ex-wife and
her
friend.
Yes. I'm fairly sure he was in like a Simpsons episode or something, or they parodied it or something.
I'm sure the Simpsons have done everything, so he had to have been in there at some point.
God, listeners, I'm not that clueless, I promise. I was barely alive at this point.
But that was also our first glimpse of a Kardashian.
Oh, okay.
The father Kardashian, whose name I cannot remember, was one of O.J. Simpson's lawyers.
Daddy Kardashian?
Father Kardashian.
Father Christmas.
He's not a priest. He was just the father of the clan. One of my favorite movies came out that year, Toy Story, which was the first fully computer animated film.
Was it the first one?
Yes, it was.
Wow. I kind of feel bad because I don't like the Toy Story movies. I just think they're a bit corny.
Go away.
No, I like X-Men. That's our thing, not Toy Story.
Okay. Another good movie came out that year.
Yeah, what's that?
Which was Die Hard with a Vengeance. Because everything is better when Samuel L. Jackson is in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Except for, I feel like there was a film that I watched once that was a terrible film that had Samuel L. Jackson in, though. It had sharks in it. And I've got sharks on the brain at the moment because I had a really bad dream.
Did it also have LL Cool J in it?
I don't know, but I'm Googling it right now because I've had sharks on the brain.
Deep Blue Sea.
That's it. Oh, God, that film made me have fears of sharks, and it was terrible. And last night I was dreaming about shark attacks on the beach, and I'm kind of scared of sharks because their eyes are so dead, and, I mean, they're not going to come out. I remember how he killed that character. I feel like it was Samuel L. Jackson who, like, come out the back and, like, came down on top of its head or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he got chomped.
Yeah. Deservedly so, probably. But...
yeah, he wasn't a nice guy in that movie.
But did you? Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you didn't like that movie, did you? But that wasn't the movie we were talking about.
It's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. I like any horror movie, and I love sharks.
Oh, no.
So I had to go towards that.
They got such dead eyes.
One of my dreams is to go to South Africa and actually be in a shark cage with the great whites.
Oh, you can do that up here, too. Up in Port Lincoln, about... 3-4 hours away? 5 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it has to be South Africa because I'm going to hit the elephants.
Oh, okay. We don't have elephants in Australia.
And, yeah. You don't have elephants and you're not close to Madagascar because I also have to go there.
Oh. Why am I Madagascar?
They have lemurs.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Lemurs are adorable. But I'm going to see the lemurs and the elephants just in case anything goes wrong with the shark.
See them first.
That way I'll have seen those. And then the shark can eat me and I'll be okay with that.
I want to ride a giraffe. I feel like that would be fun.
Can you actually do that anywhere?
No, but can you imagine riding a giraffe?
That would be a very strange saddle, I'm thinking. And you'd need a really big ladder to get up to it.
Yeah, and then imagine like trying to hold the thing.
The reins? Yeah. You would have really long reins.
Tangent to the journey.
Our first tangent together, yes.
Yay, on the celebratory episode. What else happened?
My last note is that the Atlantis docked with the Mir. And that was the first time that the space shuttle docked with Mir.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, I don't remember it happening, but
I don't remember that either, but I thought it was noteworthy. So there we go. That's what was happening in 1995.
See, I looked up some possible exciting things that happened in Australia in 1995, and I couldn't find any, except for the Australian Grand Prix was moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, and I'm very salty about that, and everyone's very salty about it still 25 years later.
Well, they had protests, didn't they?
Oh, I'm fairly sure they did. It was about the only decent thing that happens in Adelaide, and they took it away. But then again, it's probably better in Melbourne because there's more people in Melbourne. We don't have the infrastructure here in Adelaide. Suzanne, what were you doing in 95?
In January of 1995, I had actually just come back from Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
I am so jealous. I'd love to go there.
I spent a month there. It was amazing. I would love to go back, but I know it's not the same 25 years later.
Well, it's probably a bit more ruined now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it like a day trip from Ecuador or you were in a tent or something?
We were on a yacht.
Oh, God, fancy.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, can't be in a tent with all those fast-moving Galapagos tortoises running through.
No, but you did have to watch out for the seals, because one stole my shoe. I was on the beach.
It stole my shoe.
Off with it, and I couldn't do anything. I'm like, well, it's his now. Okay, bye, shoe.
That's your contribution to the Galapagos?
It's like, because you can't interfere with the animals. So I'm like, but it's my shoe. I didn't bring multiple pairs. I had like two pairs of shoes.
Well, there's a lesson learned. When you go to Madagascar, take many a shoe.
Yes. just in case those lemurs are after shoes. And Liam, what were you doing in 1995?
Well, in January 1995, I reckon the most important thing in my life was watching Thomas the Tank Engine, maybe a program in the UK called Playdays. I was five, so I really don't remember.
Okay.
Yes. So, as I said in a couple of episodes ago, I didn't start watching Voyager till I was about 10 or 11, however old I was when Drive came out. I can't contribute to what I was doing. I mean, I can probably say that I could master toilet training. I think I had that down pat by then.
I would gather that, yes, you did at 5 years old. I hope so.
I mean, I don't know. Could have wet myself that specific day.
Accidents happen. Even when you're older than five, they happen.
What, when they're your age?
Well, yeah, because that's when things start to break on you.
Oh, okay. So, Suzanne, I was thinking, given it's now 25 years, it would be a good time to look back on Voyager and sort of think about one specific thing we would do or we liked or hated or would change or wouldn't change at all, given that we've seen Voyager many, many times each, I'm sure. So let's kick it off. What was the one thing in all of Voyager that you loved?
Just one thing?
Just one thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And don't say Chakotay.
Darn it. That was my go-to answer. Okay. He's always my go-to answer.
I know.
Definitely the one thing that I loved has to be Captain Janeway.
Yeah.
Finally, a female in charge. Warts and all, we get to see it. That was fabulous.
It was fabulous to see. I mean, she's obviously not the first female captain we've seen in the show, but in terms of the first female lead captain of a show, definitely.
Yes, with her own show.
Yeah, and Star Trek's always been good at that. They had Benjamin Sisko as the first African-American lead for Star Trek. Then they put Captain Janeway in for the first female lead. I was probably a little bit disappointed, I guess, when they went back to Scott Bakula for Enterprise. I guess they just went with him because it was just a big household name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's Dr. Sam Beckett. He can't ever be anything else in my mind.
Well, no,
he is Quantum Leap.
He's Quantum Leap too. For me, he's Chuck, or Chuck's dad, even though that came after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my friend made me watch Chuck, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Captain Archer. And he's like, who? And I'm like, Captain Archer. And he was like, oh no, you've managed to find a Trek reference to my favorite show now. How dare you? And then it turns out that a lot of Chuck is actually made or produced or directed by Robert Duncan McNeil.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not catch any of that when I watched Chuck.
Yeah, there's a little batleth in one of the episodes as well.
That shows how observant I am.
Apparently
I
so.
All of it.
Captain Janeway is one of the biggest highlights of that show, definitely. I guess the one thing that I loved was the family attitude of the characters. You look at all the other shows, yeah, they are a family. They're on a big ship together, or in the case of TNG, a cruise ship. But at the same time, Voyager, the crew on that ship were forced to be a family because they were so far away from home, and they knew they were going to be there for the rest of their lives. Not 7 years. I mean, okay, let's face it. We knew it was going to be 7 years because that's how long the show was going to air for. But
unless you're Enterprise.
Take that, non-existent Warp 5 hosts. Yeah, no, the family attitude on Voyager is what made it for me. It just sort of, I wouldn't say it reminded me of my family, but I'm very much a family person and try and do as much as I can with my family. And just to see that go through all the characters on that show was just nice to see. And we saw a lot more life events occur, I guess. Obviously, we had What's-Their-Face's kid. Why can't I remember their names today?
Tom and B'Elanna.
B'Elanna and Tom. Yeah, we saw like a whole relationship bloom right through to parenthood with them. We saw Janeway and her dive into depression a little bit. We saw Chakotay become insignificant. We saw
Only to some people.
Yeah, and we could have had a lot more with some other characters as well.
Yeah.
So not to be negative onto the journey, but I guess I'm more of a pessimist, as we found out last episode. What was the one thing that you hated or at least seriously disliked in Voyager?
Oh, seriously disliked. I would have to say seriously seriously disliked the mutation that happened when Tom hit warp 10. I'm sorry.
You didn't like Threshold?
We don't super evolve into lizard people.
Yeah, I suppose, obviously, we're not going to go super evolve into lizards. But at the same time, I always thought it was just hilarious to watch. I suppose they didn't really make it, or didn't intend to make it, as a tongue-in-cheek episode.
No. Makeup-wise, it was a great episode. But I just...
It won an award, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it did. I just could not get past the hyper-evolving lizards, and then they left the lizard children to take over this planet.
I know. What reckless parents?
Yeah.
What reckless parents?
That, and then you're breaking the Prime Directive, because you know these lizard things are going to mess with whatever's on that planet.
I mean, and there was absolutely no mention of it throughout the whole rest of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if they brought them back on the ship and they were like there and they were growing up and they sort of de-evolved back into humans, and then you all of a sudden had a baby Janeway Tom sort of standing on the bridge or playing with Naomi? I guess the one thing that I hated, or at least seriously disliked, was the loss of Kes.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe more the loss of potential for the stories that we had or could have had.
Definitely. Her character was fabulous. I loved her character.
Part of me feels that some of the issues, I guess, in Jennifer Lean's life has stemmed from being let go from that show as well.
That's for sure. It could not have helped.
I'm guessing it was quite a quick cut if some of the rumors are true about it originally being Harry and then, you know, the whole, hottest man in Hollywood, which I'm sorry, I don't see.
Me neither. He's no Chakotay.
Saved him. He's no Bajoran boy from Learning Curve. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so obviously they couldn't have the budget because they were bringing 7 of 9 on.
Yeah.
And I guess they just couldn't afford to have Kes as well. But that's probably the one thing I rue the most is in she, we could have had a proper Elogium storyline where she actually gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
We could have shown her aging. We could have shown her death. We could have shown a lot of issues that a lot of older people face.
Instead of just briefly touching on it in Before and After.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably the thing I hated or seriously disliked the most.
Yeah, her character would have brought so much more to so many different other characters.
Well, yeah, because you'd have had a continuation of that relationship. Not necessarily the relationship, mm-hmm. but a relationship with Neelix.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have had... Or could potentially have had the jealousy storyline between B'Elanna and Tom because of the whole Tom and previous Kes things. You could have had a lot of storylines stem from that.
And even a friendship with Seven. That would have been amazing.
Well, with Seven's very sharp nature and Kes's soft nature, they would have gelled quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have extended and given Tuvok more of something to do.
Yes.
As well, whilst Kes is there, because she could have finished her learnings with the Doctor, she could have finished her learnings with Tuvok, and she could have been a really powerful member of that ship.
Yeah, because she could have taken over when the Doctor was unavailable, instead of, hey, let's pull our best pilot and throw him in sick bay. That never made sense to
me. For one semester of, like, medical science or whatever. Well, she could have even become the ship's counselor, because if there was a ship that needed one, it's definitely Voyager.
Yes. And Chakotay can only handle so much.
With his fist.
Some people like to talk to Chakotay, or they did at first, and then that sort of died by the wayside.
So that moves me on to the one thing that we would change. I'd make Chakotay more of a force. Made him have something better to do, and maybe that would have been a continuation of the Maquis storyline past.
Yes.
Caretaker.
Yes, definitely continue the Maquis storyline. It should not have died so quickly. They should not have meshed so well right away.
Yeah, because no one meshes that well with such opposite opinions of things.
Yeah.
No one is just like, I mean, we saw little bits of it in Learning Curve, but it wasn't a natural merging together of crews.
Yeah, other than Learning Curve, the only crew member that had an issue was Seska, and that was, you know, because she was not who she said she was. She was a Cardassian.
Yeah, I love Seska.
I love Seska, too.
Seska was great. she would be the thing that would be the driving force behind the Marquee storylines being more developed. We should do an episode on that, how season one would look with an actual Marquee presence.
Yes. Not everyone just, okay, yeah, I'm going to put on this Starfleet uniform, even though I was fighting against Starfleet for however many years.
But didn't they also have different pip things on their
they
neck?
They did.
Way to segregate people, yeah, for kind of putting them together. It's like, oh, you're a Marquee, look at your neck pips.
Mm-hmm.
What would you change?
I would definitely make the Marquee storyline extend past season one, season two, even.
I think that's probably quite a common thought, I guess, among Voyager fans, hey?
Yeah, nobody gets along that fast.
No. What is the non-negotiable thing, the one thing that you would not change at all?
Oof.
Mine will be controversial.
Well, let's start with yours because I cannot think of mine.
I loved what happened with the Borg. I hear people say that the Borg were neutered by Voyager. But you can't have an alien species sit there and be the worst thing you'll ever come across forever. They're not going to be... There's always going to be a way to defeat something.
Eventually, and Janeway, yes,
has found that way of doing it. So I've got no issue with the Borg being weakened at all through the Voyager storylines. I quite enjoyed the Borg through Voyager, which I know is not a popular opinion at all.
And my thought on that is, I don't think anyone else could have done it besides Janeway. And it
We know Picard was...
Picard was trying, but I don't think he could ever reach it. And I think it had part to do with their interaction with Species 8472. I think they learned quite a lot from that interaction and possibly things that happened off screen that we weren't told about when they met them on the planet that was set up like San Francisco.
Like Starfleet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have learned more things.
I enjoyed that episode.
About how to beat the Borg there.
I just think that people make too much out of the Borg being neutered because I guess the TNG fan base was so high compared to, I suppose it petered off between TNG and then down to Voyager.
Yeah.
People thought, oh, you can't touch the Borg, they're the be-all and end-all, especially after what happened in First Contact. But, I mean, they got beaten in First Contact as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was too young to remember. First Contact was, what, 1996?
I think so.
So they didn't bring the Borg onto Voyager until end of season three, which would have been 1997. So in that respect, the Borg were already beaten.
Mm-hmm.
So Voyager isn't to blame as a show for diminishing the Borg and their... What's the word I'm trying to use, Suzanne? I've forgotten the word I'm trying to use. I don't want to say demise, but...
Their downfall.
Yeah, from the thought that they're the pinnacle of all aliens and the scariest of all aliens.
Like the Alpha Dog.
The Alpha Dog of the Delta Quadrant.
The one thing I would not change would be Q occasionally showing up here and there.
Oh, yes.
Because it's Q and it's John DeLance and he made it fun. And you never knew what he was going to be up to.
And John DeLancey and Kate Mulgrew's chemistry. Yes. Perfect. Yes. I loved them together. And I guess it's because they worked off of Voyager together a fair bit as well and they were friends.
Yes. That definitely helped.
What was your favourite little bit that happened with Q and Janeway?
I would say the puppy. When he brings her the puppy and then female Q shows up and just that whole interaction. I'm not talking about the dog.
My whole reaction is, mine's bigger. Because I've got the mind of a child.
Not big enough.
It's like, no. Which sort of leads into the whole underlying Janeway Chakotay thing in a way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's like, you want him? Well, mine's bigger. I suppose, I mean, to be terribly crude, he could make it as big as he wants to. He's omnipotent.
And being omnipotent, he knew they were supposed to be an item. Come on. He knew...
Janeway and Chakotay should be together.
Q knew that should happen and was pretty much telling everybody, hey, this should be happening because I know what you're thinking. I know what she's thinking.
Yeah. Maybe he stopped it, though, because he wanted to be in Janeway's bed.
How dare you, Q.
Oh,
I need to have a conversation.
She wanted to make a baby with her, didn't she? Which, in a way, was kind of slightly creepy. It's like, hey, want a baby?
Well, she did just beat out that amoeba, because he was thinking about the amoeba as well. So that's got to say something. You got to feel good about yourself. You beat out an amoeba to have a baby with a Q.
Janeway will beat out an amoeba any day. She'll beat out any human.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, I'll take it. I'll let you take this one. What is the one thing that you wanted to see happen? What could that be?
Listeners, what is the one thing I wanted to see happen? I wonder.
I've got a guess. I've got a guess.
Okay.
Chakotay.
Yes.
And Seven.
But we did see that happen, and it was creepy.
No, but in my head, I've got rid of it.
Okay. So even though it was hollow Chakotay, it was still creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then what would it be? Janeway and Tom?
No.
No?
Tom and Harry.
Tom and Chakotay.
Tom and Harry.
Tom and, oh, do you know, Tom and Harry would be a good relationship. That'd be so much fun together.
I mean, they already had fun together, but to take it to a different intimacy.
Yeah, yeah. And they know each other very well. Mm-hmm. That would be a beautiful relationship. Although, I'm not going to lie, I do love Tom and B'Elanna probably more.
Yeah, she's spunky.
Yeah. So who is it then that you wanted to see happen?
I think I would have to go with Captain Janeway. And Chakotay. I know, shocking.
Really? Shocking. I would never have thought this.
And I know there are a lot of people out there that are like, no, and I'm so glad that didn't happen. And just the chain of command. They're people stuck together 75 years and we only see one couple get together. I don't think so.
Yeah. See, I'm one of those that have an issue with the command structure because obviously first officer and captain, I'm not a fan of that concept, like as I said in the previous episode, but I do think as people they're wonderful.
They got on so well. They were such great friends and you could see the spark happening and then it just gone.
It just fizzled out. But that they should have probably made it a little bit more obvious in a way, or I guess played it a little bit more as a joke. Because I know they did little bits of it. And I guess there was that deleted scene where they kissed, I think I remember listening to.
No. No, they had filmed a scene, and I used to know the dialogue by heart, and it was shown as a promo.
Right.
She later discusses the Dear John letter with Chakotay, admitting that she used her engagement as a safety net to avoid becoming involved with anyone else. That was gone. And it seemed like the door for a long-awaited romance was opening. And then they didn't do anything with it. They used the scene in a promo and cut it from the episode.
Why would they cut it from the episode?
Why would they show it in a promo and give me hope?
Well, that would be 1990s clickbait.
That is what it is. Stupid clickbait.
Voyager clickbait. Do you know what I wanted to see happen? Them actually just land on Earth. I don't want anything major, just landing on Earth.
Definitely.
That's it. That's all I wanted.
And family embraces. I want to see Gretchen Janeway. I want to see Harry's mom and dad, like, tackle him.
Oh, yes. Like, have you learned the violin when you're away? No, you haven't. Naughty. It's like, what do you mean you're still an ensign? I want to talk to that lady.
I'm going to talk to the captain right now. And she goes over. That'd be awesome.
And she actually does it. And you got Janeway's probably like, no. It's like, he has not provided anything worthwhile for me to put him as a lieutenant. In fact, I was going to demote him. So, oh dear.
Yeah, we missed out on a lot of family reunification and just what we were all hoping for. It's like you're stringing us along for 7 years and then we don't even see the finish line. Excuse me?
Yeah. I suppose that is the saddest thing about Endgame. But that's just what we say 25 years on.
Now, technically, the saddest thing about Endgame would be that Admiral Janeway didn't go back like a week earlier and save Joe Carey. I mean, come on!
Yeah. Do you know what, though? Maybe she just didn't like him. I mean, she didn't make him the chief engineer.
But she finished his little space ship in a bottle thing.
But that's boring.
Still. It's like, come on. You're trying to save all these people. You couldn't go back 1 week earlier and save Joe.
Well, if they went back a couple of weeks earlier, they wouldn't have seen... They'd have kept Neelix on into the Alpha Quadrant.
Which they should have. I wanted to see Neelix on Earth.
But then we could argue, why didn't she just go back to right at the beginning of Caretaker and be like, don't you go anywhere.
Well, no, Chakotay talked her out of all of that in Shattered.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But then again, that's a very good point, Suzanne.
Thank you.
He says as he cannot think of something to respond to that with. Were there any other one things that... I was trying to think of some other, like, the one things that we could do, and I couldn't think of any.
Who is the one guest star that you would have liked to have seen stay on? And this is just a person that was in one episode.
Like to stay on for the rest of the show?
For the rest of the show, yes.
Oh, wow. Other than the lizard babies. Gosh, there's just so many.
There are.
I mean, I can think of aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go to, and I don't want to go down the Voth path again because I just love the Voth, but what a, ooh. Oh, that's so hard, Suzanne.
I'm not here to make life easy.
Do you have one?
I do, but then I thought about it. I just said they were on for one episode, and my person was on two episodes.
Oh, who cares? So,
Dinara Pell.
Oh, my God, yes. Phage Pell or non-Phage Pell?
I'm flexible, yeah. Either one. But if I have to stick to my rule of just one episode, it would be the Borg drone from one.
Oh, see, I don't know, because that would have just been another case of Seven and Hugh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we didn't have Seven and Hugh then. We're getting them now in Picard. But...
No, we had Seven, and then we had Hugh and I don't mean together. But...
I mean together.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So see how that worked.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that. I definitely agree with your Dinara Pell one. Now that you're allowing me two episodes,
mm-hmm.
because I just allowed it to, I can't remember if this is the actor's name or the actual character's name, but Rain Robinson.
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Which one is the actor's name and which one is the
Rain Robinson character? Is the character.
Okay, cool. Because I knew they both had the same letter and I'm like, oh gosh, which one's which? Her. I'd love to have seen a character from 1990s on a spaceship being mm-hmm. like, what the hell is this? Oh my God, what is that skin stuck on that person's face? Or, oh my God, technology people?
That would have been like placing us contact. Into an episode. That would have been placing the viewer into an episode, or into the show.
There's an episode idea. But can you, yeah, exactly. Can you just imagine what she would have been? Because she would have been a damn good addition to that show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Silverman. We could have had Dinara Pell on there as well.
But having Rain on there, it would have mirrored Dr. Gillian Taylor in The Voyage Home. The whale movie.
Yes. Yes. The whale. Yeah.
the whale movie. In case people don't know, that's how I call it. It's the whale movie.
The whale movie. Yeah, no, it would have done. Was she on there? Oh, she was on there for a little bit, wasn't she?
She did, and she went home with them. So then she puts her, yes. She's in school and she's learning things and... You know, just her reaction when she's being beamed up for the first time. Ah, yeah, that would have been everybody. I would do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're being disassembled effectively, aren't you, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine? What would you be like on Voyager? I would be like touching all the buttons. You'd be secretly watching a video of Janeway and Chakotay or through
No. I'd be like, Chakotay, can you help me with this? Thank you.
It's like, I have an issue.
Aren't there open quarters near yours? Because I feel like I need to talk to you a lot, and just to be close by would be great.
Chakotay, I'm stuck in the sonic shower.
Again?
It's like, oh, this happens every day. Perhaps we need to make it looking this shower bigger. No, 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 no. I just need assistance out. I'm not going to do any favours, are we, for those that think that you talk about Chakotay too much. I'm not going to do any favours for that.
I haven't talked about him in 6 months. What do you expect?
We haven't recorded in 6 months.
Exactly.
So the one thing was that I was thinking about is, what one character would you like to have seen from elsewhere in Star Trek, like main cast Star Trek?
Okay.
On Voyager, like step onto Voyager at the beginning of Caretaker.
I would really have loved to have seen Riker, but I don't think that would have fit.
Probably not storyline-wise, no. No, but why would you want Riker on there?
Because I love Riker. Jonathan Frakes is just awesome, and it would have to be beardy Riker. We can't have shaven face Riker, no.
Oh, gosh, no. But I mean, at the same time, I would be the same for Dax, but I don't think Dax would...
Yeah.
And Jadzia Dax, I should say. I don't think she would have fit. But I think in terms of characters that fit.
She's not the best fit, but I think it would have made for really interesting stories along the way. Lwaxana Troi.
Oh. Oh my God. Can you imagine her trying to crack onto everyone in the Delta Quadrant?
It doesn't make any sense, but it would have been fun.
Can you imagine her and Q together?
Oh my gosh. No.
No?
My head would explode. That'd be too much fun in one episode.
God, that would be the most bonkers episode. That would be more bonkers than Threshold. And that would have added extra meaning to Troi being in like the Pathfinder episodes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Yeah.
That would have added a little bit more meaning for that, other than just having Troi on there. I mean, yeah, she helped Barclay, but could have been anyone.
Yeah, why was Barclay so obsessed with Voyager? Was it just to have Barclay in a story? I mean, I enjoyed it, but it could have been anyone.
I mean, I suppose it's because Barclay, rightly or wrongly, gets shown as someone with having a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose in terms of someone trying to get them home, Barclay is probably the most likely to be obsessed with them. But I reckon it's just more a fact to get Dwight something on the show.
Yeah, probably.
I've forgotten his name.
Dwight Schultz.
Started his name and that's it. So let's just move on to something else I wanted to discuss about Voyager's 25-year anniversary, mm-hmm. and that is Voyager's role in Star Trek, inside and outside of the universe, and Voyager's legacy. I guess there was a massive role in changing the histories of a lot of species, or not necessarily the histories, but the trajectory of the species in the Delta Quadrant. So like for the Ocumpa, they interfered there. The Borg, they've absolutely decimated. The Kazon.
Oh, the poor Kazon.
They did with the Kazon.
Maybe they got haircuts.
And then... they've got coral reef hair, really, haven't they? And then species 8472. I mean, they brought them into the normal non-fluidic space. So they've got issues with those too. So they've changed a lot of things there. And I suppose as well, something else that Voyager's role in Star Trek is that they've been right out to the Delta Quadrant. So they've seen a hell of a lot more things than anyone else has before.
Yeah.
They really were on the edge of the final frontier.
And now my mind is going like to the books and what happens there with Borg and that storyline. And I'm like wondering, is that going to be pulled into Picard? I'm sure somehow what Janeway and the Voyager crew did to the Borg is going to touch Picard in some way, since Seven of Nine is on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone that they encountered in the Delta Quadrant and on their way through the Delta Quadrant, they affected so many different races and... Like the Voth.
Oh man, the Voth are so good.
Yeah.
I love the Voth. And Kashyyyk.
Oh, Kashyyyk.
You'd have memories of her.
Prax! Prax has memories.
Prax does. Good old Prax. And then you've got, I guess...
Captain Braxton.
Oh god, yeah. Well, his life was ruined by Janeway.
Yeah.
Did he? Well, no, he's not. I never got that storyline, really. I never know if he's still stuck in 1996 or if he's...
No, he's in jail.
If he's in jail. And was that the same Braxton?
That is the same Braxton.
Time traveling.
Gives you a headache.
Time travel breaks my brain. But yeah, and then you've got Voyager's legacy, I guess, outside of Star Trek as well. I mean, you've got... Many people have said to Kate Mulgrew that her character, Captain Janeway, was the inspiration in them getting into things within STEM, whether it be mathematics or science or engineering or just wanting to even be an astronaut or just being interested in astronomy and that kind of thing. And then you had that, I've forgotten her name, but she's like a politics lady.
No, I'm thinking of Stacey Abrams. Who was running
well,
for...
Well, I think she said something.
Yeah, she was running for the governor of Georgia, and Voyager was her thing, and she adored Captain Janeway.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Congresswoman from New York.
Whoever she is, yeah. Like, apparently she was heavily influenced by Kate Mulgrew and Captain Janeway as well. And that's what's probably the best thing about Voyager's legacy outside of Star Trek, in that it's inspired a hell of a lot of people.
Oh, definitely.
And if a show can inspire people, I know that networks make it for making money, etc. But at the same time, if you can be inspired by something like that and you can inspire people, that's got to be really humbling for a lot of actors.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been fun talking about Voyager's silver anniversary today. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
Did I ever tell you the story about how Channel 4 in Oklahoma City played Next Generation at 10:30 because that's when they had played the original series reruns the last time they had a shot at it?
Yeah.
And you think that's insane, but their thinking was, are you kidding? Do you know what kind of ratings we get with Star Trek at 10:30 on Sunday night after the local news? We'd never get those kind of ratings with anything else. And I'm like, but you would get even bigger ratings if you put it at a normal time. And so they finally, going into fourth season, they had a big, like, okay, fine. But Best of Both Worlds Part 2, of all the times to change the airtime and then not tell? They didn't promote it?
To the journey!
Another interesting statistic on this, while we're talking about it, is that past a certain point in human history, I forget the exact number, but I read an article on it, but past a certain point, anyone who is alive at that point is statistically likely to be an ancestor of everyone alive today.
Well, that just sort of broke my brain. Can you?
I know. It's weird to think about that. If you go far back in time enough in human history, at a certain, it's like a crossover point almost, anyone alive at that point, prior to that point, is likely to be an ancestor of every living human today.
Gosh. That's an amazing stat.
Statistically.
Yeah, that's an amazing stat.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
You're not going to get in Discovery, or at least I hope they don't, things like references to Grand Magus Ron. That's nothing in comparison, do you know? Like,
oh, I can do you one better. Grand Magus Brunt.
Ugh, Brunt. F-C-A.
Jeffrey Combs, I love you.
Can we please have Jeffrey Combs in Discovery?
Earl Grey.
How are we bettering ourselves? And the way that it seems to be is through high culture.
Well, I think it also ties into this kind of utopianism of Next Gen. I mean, Next Gen is the most, I mean, people say Star Trek is utopian, and I would broadly agree with that. But Next Gen is absolutely the most utopian.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact, choose Message to a Trek FM Show, and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Suzanne, when you're not wanting Chakotay to enlist you into more marquee episodes of Voyager, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can occasionally find me popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. And Liam, when you're not busy protesting to get the Australian Grand Prix back to Adelaide, where can our listeners find you on the internet and around the network?
I feel like I'm failing at getting that back, but anyway. Grr. You can find me on the Babel Conference, of course. You can find me on Twitter at LS74656. And also elsewhere on the network, you can find me hosting The Edge with Brandy Dracula. Dracula? That'll do. Brandy Dracula. And Nick Collinson on The Edge, our discovery podcast for the network.
Have you been watching Dracula?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, so good.
I'm watching B-Wars at the moment.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Is it? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Brandy Dracula appears on that.
That would be amazing. I'd love that. We have to write her in somehow. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details.
Yada, y'all.
Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, all available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
So I'd like to take some time to thank our associate producers of Trek FM, and especially To the Journey, that is Bruce Lish, Drew Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau.
Well, join us next time. We will be hanging out with Samuel L. Jackson just to make this podcast even better.
But there's no sharks. No sharks, thank you.
But until then, this has been To the Journey.